You may be seated. We go over this a lot on Easter, read this many times, and I always have wanted to be the one to read verse 6. He is not risen, for he's not here, for he's risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord laid. Those are the most powerful words. But here we always start with me reading the verse 1, so I'm always going to be doing odd verses. Never get to do that. So next Easter, if we're going to do the same text, you're going to start, and I'm going to do verse 6. And really shout that out, because that's a powerful verse. Let's turn to Matthew 16, verse 21, please. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. That's what he told them before it came to pass. Peter didn't like that. The part that he said, I'm going to be killed. And remember the rest of the text, Peter said, oh, don't, why are you talking like that, Jesus? Don't talk like that. He wanted Jesus to stay alive and hang around him. He knew they'd never starve. He can multiply food. He could do everything, take care of you. He doesn't want Jesus to leave. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. In other words, talking like that is from Satan. Jesus must die, and he must rise again to conquer sin and death, because man is lost. So in Matthew 16, 21, he gives three prophecies before they happen. As we studied last Sunday on Palm Sunday, Jesus did make his entry into Jerusalem. He did that one. As we study here Good Friday night, Jesus did suffer from the religious leaders and was crucified and killed, wasn't he? Two out of three ain't bad in the world. But in prophecy, two out of three is bad. It has to be three out of three, or it's not prophecy. The third prophecy was he would be raised the third day. That is the big one. Can anyone predict that and really have it happened? Now, I can remember when they said when Houdini died, he had a phone placed in his coffin so that if he was alive after he died, he could make contact with the world. He never did. Do you know of anyone that did that? You know, on Friday, we left Jesus' body in the tomb, sealed and a guard around it. And we pick it up in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. The women were always around Jesus taking care of him. I don't want to pin people down, but it seems that women are so much more sensitive and compassionate to things. We men, you know, and we were made that way by God to take care of the family and the house and work and get out there and do things. That's the way God made us both, but you always see the women right there helping, doing what they can. And they were there, the first ones there. It began to dawn, and they headed out to see the tomb. It's a Sunday morning. But you notice it says in verse 1, they came to see the tomb. Not to enter it, they came to see it. They knew it was sealed and they couldn't get in. And they were hoping that they could get in some way. Maybe guards would roll the stone away or something, because they wanted to anoint the body of Jesus. See, if you read the other Gospels, and let's turn to Mark 16, the next book, Mark 16. Mark 16, in verse 1, we read, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him, Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" They came to anoint the body of Jesus, which was customary when someone died, because he was put in the grave right away. So they wanted to anoint that body, which person would do. They had no idea what was really happening here. What a big surprise for these ladies today that we study. You know, and we can learn a lesson from that and from these women. Do what God calls you to do and don't look at the obstacles. Who's going to roll away the stone so I could do that? Or I could go minister over there or fulfill a calling over here or talk to this person over here, or this will never work out, so I'm not even going to try. Don't look at the obstacles. Just do what you are called to do, and God will roll away the stone. Isn't that great? Well, how is this ever going to happen? Well, God has a way to do it, and he'll roll away the stone if he has to. He'll do it. I wonder how many times we miss out on blessings from God because we just give up. We don't want to give up. Just do what God would have us to do. Look what he does, verse 2. There was an earthquake, a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. God causes an earthquake, sends an angel down from heaven, and a stone is rolled away. Isn't that a great way to roll away a stone? Just have God do it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Angels are brilliant beings. We can see that everywhere in Scripture. And other times they come as just a messenger, but in a lot of cases there's this brilliance. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. We probably would too, if right now a heavenly being came here and, wow, what's going on? They had no idea. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know why you're here. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." See, God comforts the women. He sends a messenger to comfort them, and he relates to them. I know why you're here. I know why you've come. You've come to anoint the body of Jesus. You've come to see Jesus. You're seeking Jesus who was crucified. Now, we know that the first two prophecies of Jesus came to pass. He got into Jerusalem, and he was killed. Now, is the third prophecy true? Is he who he says he is? Is it true? Verse 6. Well, ladies, he is not here. Now, if the Bible stopped there, we'd be left wondering today, did they steal his body? Did they get him out somehow? Dig a tunnel, hide him, get him out later? You know, movies can be made about this and speculate. It doesn't stop there, though. It says he is not here, for he is risen. And it doesn't even stop there. It says, as he said. He said he would, and he did. Do you ever doubt God's word? Okay, before you nod your head, no. Do you ever worry? Okay, maybe I was wrong in answering too quick. We worry at times, don't we? We must trust God. Isn't it wonderful how God loves us even through our failings, and he works with us, and he grows us? God so loves us. He set us free. These words right here. He is not here because he's risen. He's risen from the dead. Wow. No one stole his body. He's risen. He's 3 out of 3 in his prophecy. He's risen from the dead, just as he said before any of these things happen. I don't know that we truly understand what a huge day this is we celebrate, or verse this is. Resurrection. I don't know if you go to many funerals. I've been to many funerals. And when you look at the body, there's one word that always comes to my mind, finality. That's over. Dead. it's over for that person. I mean, it's final. If that person were to get up out of that coffin and say hello to me, I'd probably drop. I'd faint. Because it's so final, isn't it? Isn't death so final? That, I don't want you to get to think about that, because we're living in the life. But when you see death, it's like a wake-up call. I better be ready. I better be ready. I better not be lying in that coffin. I better be in the presence of the Lord. Because it's so far, death has had 100% right. Risen from the dead, he did, and he rose again on the third day. It shows us there is power, there is a power over death. One, Jesus Christ. There is power over death, a way to defeat it. Isn't that awesome? There's a way to defeat that finality there, to be put in the grounds and have worms eat you up. There's a way to beat that through Jesus rising from the dead. Because the tomb is empty. And he tells them in verse 6, come and see the place where the Lord lay. So many people don't come to Jesus and they don't even check him out, hear about him. I don't want to hear it. God says, come and see. Seek and you will find. If you're doing it with your heart, with an open heart. The grave is empty. You know, in John chapter 20, when it goes over the resurrection, it tells us the linen cloths were there, left there, and the face cloth was folded neatly, put by its side. Jesus left the tomb neatly. I love that in John. Isn't that interesting? It wasn't someone breaking in, stealing him, and all things all messed up. He left neatly. The truly is a life-changing event. And then he tells them in verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Hey, I want you to go tell everyone that he's risen. He's not there. Don't mourn. Don't weep. Sunday's a good day. Go tell them he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. He's risen. He's going to Galilee. And the good news, you're going to see him. Did you ever have a loved one die? And did you wish I had 5 more minutes with them? If you haven't, it probably will happen in your life. Oh, if I could just kiss them again or touch them again or tell them how much I love them, do it while they're alive. Because that time comes. It came for these disciples and they thought he was dead. What news that is. You're going to see him again. Isn't that wonderful news? Well, if the person you lost is a Christian, a believer, you're going to see them again. That's why I always end the services at the funerals saying, it's not goodbye, it's see you later. You see, we just move as a Christian from a house down here, which isn't too much, to this mansion in heaven. Be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's all we do as a Christian. That's why we grieve over our loved ones that don't know the Lord. We want to see them there too. We want their company in heaven. And if today you don't know the Lord, I would sincerely listen and pray that God would speak to you and draw you into his kingdom. It's a good place to be. It's a great neighborhood. All good neighbors. We're going to be there. Tell his disciples he's going to Galilee. That's about 70 miles. You know, we read these stories in the Bible, we think, these are superhuman people, like our superheroes today we see in the movies. They can do anything, they never get hurt. They don't feel, they don't, you know, dress up like we dress up. They don't go to the bathroom, they don't eat whatever, you know. These are different people and the distances are very small and things just happen quickly. No. These are normal people. 70 miles. That's almost 3 marathons. Jesus is alive and well. He's going to Galilee. He's left the tomb. Go tell his disciples he's risen and you will see him. Now, don't you love to share exciting news? When something great, great, great happens to you, well, you know, today you text, so it doesn't hold true with the old messages, like you're looking for somebody to call. because people don't do that today. But let's go back in time when there was only telephones. When you get some exciting news, what's the first thing you want to do? Tell somebody. What's the worst thing that happens? No one's around, and you can't tell anybody. So he says, I want you to tell everybody about me. This is exciting news. Get out there and tell them that I've risen. I'm headed up to Galilee. So as we end at that verse, at verse 7, we read of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a true event. It changed the world. It changed the calendar, B.C. and A.D. Changed everything in life. Our Christian faith believes in what we call the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. With God, nothing is impossible, and nothing is too hard for the Lord. Rising from the dead, no problem. Parting the sea, no problem. Walking on water, no problem. Healing the sick, no problem. Multiplying food, no problem. See, people have a hard time with rising from the dead because that's so final. Everything else, well, maybe there's an explanation or it could happen. But what about rising from the dead? That's something only God can do because he creates. You see? Jesus rose as he said he would on the third day. He's the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Holy One, the Savior. Now, if the tomb contained the body of Jesus, we wouldn't be here today. Some of you would be out golfing. Some of you would be going to brunch. Some of you would be sleeping in, traveling, be in different places today if he didn't rise, if the tomb was empty. We would be missing out on so much in life. We'd be missing out on life itself. We Christians know what it is to live. Yes, we have trouble, tribulation, hurt, pain, disease, all kinds of things. But we also have blessings and joy and love and hope and peace in Christ. And we would be missing out on all those things that truly money can't buy. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. True love, unconditional love, joy unspeakable, and an eternal life in heaven. Isn't it good to lie down on your bed at night and no matter what happens, I have the Lord and I'll either wake up here or in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? No fear. Many people are frightened over dying. They may act very strong and proud while things are going well. And I've seen this many times. But as soon as an affliction hits, they get a little fearful. They don't have true life insurance. The life insurance we buy on this earth is not really life insurance. It's for someone else. We never get to use it. Life insurance is Jesus Christ. That's for us. And it's free. I don't know what the premiums are today for life insurance here, but it's free for heaven. That's a deal. You know, they've got a commercial on now. Free, free, free. And that's what it is. It's free. Free life insurance through Jesus. No need to be frightened because we know what lies ahead. I know where I'm going. You know where you're going if you're a Christian. They don't know what lies ahead. I know I've been there. I wasn't born a Christian. My wife and I accepted Jesus later on in life. I know what it's like on the other side. I know what it's like to be a born-again believer. Many people are frightened of dying. You know, you think, is there nothingness? Is there awareness? Is there good places or bad places? Or does it all end here on earth at your last breath? People have all these theories about it. Well, in verse 6 it said, he is not here. He is risen as he said. There is life after death. There is life after death. There is awareness. And there is a way to get out of the tomb that you're walking in life in today. If you don't have Christ, you're in the tomb and you're living in darkness. I was in the tomb and I was living in darkness, not knowing where I'm going. A horrible place to be. There is a way to live happily ever after, and that's not a fairy tale. It's true. you can live happily ever after. I wanted to know where I would go when I was dying. You know, if I were to die, I wanted to know where I would go. I'm glad someone shared with me and my wife that there is a way to know. You can know while you're living. You don't have to die to find out. People say, well, I'll know once I die. That's too late. That's foolish. You don't have to die to find out. That's what the Lord is telling us. That's a scary way to live, to find out when you die. Hey, we're going on vacation. We spent a lot of money on reserving this place, but we have no idea what it's like or if there's even a beach. Now, I would say, you're stupid. I've got some better property to sell you, you know. You know, you find out, you investigate. And we investigate through the Word of God, the Bible. And God's Spirit speaks to us and draws us, gives us the faith to believe, and then we make a choice. Yes or no? I believe it or not believe it. But what a scary way to live. You know, well, I don't know. I guess I'll find out when I get there. You don't get an out-of-jail card for free when you die. You're there for eternity. That's it. It's too late. You don't gamble or roll the dice or take your chance on ending up in a good place. That's foolish. Everyone can know when they are going, where they are going, where they are going. It's all going to be determined by what a person does with Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. You can get to heaven through Jesus. And that, you know what's required to go to heaven? Faith and belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what it takes to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. Don't do a thing and you'll get there, because that's the way we start out. I know most of us here are Christians, and I will see you all in heaven. Now, how does Jesus rising from the dead affect me and you personally? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Our hope isn't in this life. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or have died. For since by man came death, by man, the man Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. What does in Christ mean? It means I live and believe in him as my Savior and my Lord, the only way for forgiveness of sins and the way to the Father. I give my life to him and he gives me eternal life. Isn't that a good trade? Wow. People say, what does Christ, what does Jesus, what does God want from me? He wants you. Just like people that got married. You want the other person, and the other person wants you. Other stuff doesn't really matter. Well, do you have any student loans? Or what kind of a job do you have? Or what about this and what about that? You know what really matters? Love. They love you and you love them. Jesus wants you to love him because he already loves you. It's just us surrendering to that love and saying, I want this love relationship with the Lord. He loves me. He gave his life for me. I want him in my life, and I want to spend eternity with him. I give my life to him. That's what it means in Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 11. John 11, verse 25. Jesus is speaking to Martha. Their brother Lazarus died. And in John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And that's the question to all of us. And the Bible talks about being in hell as death and being in heaven as life, and that's what he's talking about. He's the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in him, if you live and believe in him, you shall never die because you will be with him in heaven. Do you all believe this? Yes. It's true. He's the resurrection and life. He showed it and proved it by his resurrection. The good news, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. He rose and said, do you believe this? Jesus showed us that death, the grave, has no power over him. It couldn't keep him or his followers. 1 Corinthians 15, if you would like to turn there, I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then should be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We can look at death, we can look at the grave and say, you have no power over me. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. We can look it right in the eye, death, in the grave and say, you have no power over me. I have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Victory in Jesus. The grave can't hold us. We're never going to be in it. The instant we're gone from here, we're there. This body. It's interesting. He says this corruptible must put on incorruption. This body, which we so love and take care of, and we should, is called corruptible. And every day and every year and every decade, as we look in the mirror, we can say, yeah, it's corruptible. You know, it changes. It gets put in the grave eventually, really corruptible. But the instant we die, we all of a sudden put on incorruption and immortality. And eventually we get a new body. Isn't that wonderful? You won't have to take your pills with you when you die. They won't have to put them in the casket. Because, as it says, as we read in our text today, in verse 6, he is not here. He's risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. This is a sure thing because we're in Christ. Romans 6, verse 3 to 5. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of God's love, he did all of this for us. And one day we'll be with our Lord. But the other side of the story, those that stay in the tomb, that don't get out. So we've been taken out of the tomb when we gave our life to Jesus. We're not in there. Never going to be in there. Never going to be in the grave. But there's those that stay there. Say, not for me. I'm taking chances that I'm smarter than God. Those that receive Jesus Christ, who repented, asked for forgiveness, repented, asked change, asked Jesus into their life, they're going to be in a good place. But not everyone. Sadly. Let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the good part. But there's the other side. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just unbelievers, too, going to be with that company. They will experience the lake of fire. They'll be in the lake of fire. Look at Revelation 20, verse 15. Anyone not found written in the book of life, the book of Jesus, was cast into the lake of fire. Where would you rather spend eternity? Heaven or hell? That's the easy one, isn't it? You may say, well, how do I get to heaven? Well, we're given the answer, John 14. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That sounds good. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is preparing a place for us. I bet you he does good work. I mean, this is in heaven. Gold is used on streets like tar here. It's great in heaven. He's preparing a place for us. That sounds like a place I want to go. You know, so, and then we read in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Well, how do we get there? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You can't get there unless it's through me, you're receiving me as your Lord and Savior. I'd rather be in a place that the Lord is making for me than rather spend a place on the lake, which I built for myself, because it's a lake of fire. That doesn't sound good. Resurrection is a big event. It's a day of freedom. Now, if you were to read the rest of the text in Matthew 20, 28 today, you would see in verses 11 to 15, they came up with a lame story that, oh, tell his disciples that. They tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. That's what the guards told them. Well, that was dangerous to say you were sleeping on the job. You would probably be killed. And they didn't hear anything. Rolling away the stone, taking away the body of Jesus. Well, that's kind of lame. You know, but then at the end of the story here, we're told what we are to do. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Make disciples of all the nations. Preach the gospel. Tell people about the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And then teaching them to obey the word of God, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Many people are headed in the wrong direction or staying in the tomb. Share. Pray for boldness. that God would excite us every day about what we have. We've been resurrected from the dead. We're not in the grave. We're not in the tomb. We have life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for giving us life, a ticket out of the tomb, and a ticket to heaven through Jesus Christ. Thank you for telling us how we get there. And today, we're going to observe communion, partake of the body and the emblems which represent the body and blood of Jesus Christ, remembering it's by grace, through faith, not of works, that we're going to heaven. And we want to thank the Lord for the gift he's giving us, given us. The body and blood of Jesus is what these emblems represent. But it's for believers acknowledging, yes, this is what I believe, and I'm remembering it. If you're a believer, please partake with us. But if not, God wants you to, and we want you to today. Maybe you've gone to church, not gone to church. People think you're a Christian, maybe they don't. Nothing matters. What matters is God and you. It's a personal relationship. He knows your heart. He knows your inner being. He knows your mind. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking right now. If that scares you, do something about it. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, first of all, respond to God's call on your life right now. If you're troubled, thinking, nervous, then God probably is talking to you. Please respond. I'm going to say a prayer. This is between you and the Lord. There's no big spectacle here. It's just you and the Lord. Close everyone else out. And you can say this prayer just to God in your heart. Just repeat it. But the most important part is not the words, but that you mean it and you're serious and you want to surrender your life to the Lord. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sin. I know I have sinned against you, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and help me. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I now ask Jesus to come into my life and take over. I surrender my life to you, Lord. Please come in. Make me a new person. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me how to live and help me to understand your word. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Give me the boldness now to tell others about you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.